there was this energy on the evening. It was really hard to explain, but, you know, there's something about getting lots of incredible women together and curating a night together. It went so smoothly and the vibe was just incredible.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are having our penultimate discussion with the Pippet Girl Gang. I'm actually going to be really sorry to wrap this series up tomorrow, because I've enjoyed it so much. It's been such rich chat, such amazing women. Today we are talking to another one. Her name is Gabby Fury. She is a sommelier. She's consulting. She's working at Harvest, and she lives just outside of Lismore. Gabby, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Thank you for having me, Denny.
I'm thrilled to be talking to you. I feel like we should start with the immediate situation that everyone in the Northern Rivers is surrounded by and dealing with, and that's the floods. Tell me how things have been for you over the past few weeks.
The floods are just incredibly devastating for our entire region. I am most of the time a stay-at-home mum with a 14-month-old little girl, so I was very isolated from the event, not being able to get out there and help the Mud Army. But I was sort of blocked off from the whole region because I was flooded in. My husband James, who also works at Harvest, couldn't get home for a couple of days. But Lismore is 10 minutes from my house, and the entire city's just wiped out, which is really just mind-blowing, knowing that the city hub that, you know, we would visit weekly is just completely, just non-existent anymore. So many homes lost, so many businesses completely lost as well. It's something that you just can't really grapple with, trying to get your head around the thought of losing everything.
Yeah, the enormity of it just, I guess, whacks me again and again, and that's at this distance. I mean, have you been down to Lismore and, you know, had a look around and just tried to get your head around it?
I personally haven't been down to Lismore. My husband has. He had about 5 days where he was in lending a hand. I personally haven't gone down. I've just been trying to help in other ways. I just fear that it sounds strange, but I just fear that I would become overwhelmed with grief for people. And so I'm just trying to stay focused on doing other things to help the greater good, and like organizing fundraisers and things like that. So I'm just sort of staying focused on that. But a lot of my friends are in the action, getting really dirty and helping the community, and they're sharing their stories with me, and it's really confronting.
I mean, yeah, look, there are so many ways to help and to be part of the recovery, and I think self-preservation is really important. It's like you're not of any use if you're overwhelmed by the situation and I guess frozen by it, which I can imagine. Yeah, I guess you don't know how you'll respond until you're thrown into a situation like that. But some of the images, that I've seen of Lismore, it just looks like the whole town is out on the street, you know, to be trucked away.
Things absolutely.
It's just watching books be thrown out of the top floor of the library windows was an image that really gripped me. Like, I just thought it was just so sad and so telling.
Yeah, I mean, I take Frida to that library and we sit on the second level and we read books, and seeing just all of those books just being tossed out the window and just, you know, the gravity of this situation is just very overwhelming, and knowing that I'm just so close to it as well. And Elise Derwin, who's an incredible photographer up here, who's a friend and lives down the road, she was in there taking photos, and she was sharing all those photos, and it was just, I felt like I was getting a snapshot in real time through her of what it actually looks like out there. But I will never truly understand, because I didn't experience it firsthand.
Oh, I mean, there's so many ways to understand things. I don't think you certainly don't need to diminish the impact or the effect it's going to have on your life. Like to have the place that you know and you go to, and that's, you know, it's so beautiful taking little kids to libraries. I remember that so fondly. It's just really sad. So, you know, you mentioned you're working on a fundraiser. I mean, what is the feeling in the community? Obviously, there's the shock and the trauma, but is that being sort of channeled into fundraising? Does it feel like the community is able to pull together?
100%. It's mind-blowing how incredible this community is, and the greater hospitality community in particular. I'm noticing the wine community around Australia are just banding together and doing what they can. It's really just incredible. I'm coming on board to organise a fundraiser at Milk and Honey, which is in Mullumbimby, and it's a pop-up with some amazing chefs and incredible bartenders and front of house heavyweights up here. And I've come on board to do the wine for the event, and I've been absolutely blown away with how many people want to get on board to help us and donate an incredible wine for us to serve on the evening. And we're going to be donating all of our proceeds to Revive the Northern Rivers. So, I'm just like blown away with who wants to come on board. Everybody is just 100% on board and wanting to do what they can. And it's really incredible, and I feel like just when a community is really, you would think that they were just so burnt out from fires and then 2 years of a pandemic and multiple lockdowns and businesses being challenged months on end and now devastating floods, and still the reserve of energy and the passion for community is just so incredible and so inspiring. And that's something that I've been able to help with, which has been amazing for me. Having a little girl, I've been able to, you know, get on the phone and get on email and try and do my bit. And I think it's going to be a really incredible night next week.
It's amazing just to hear the energy in your voice, which I guess is fueled by all those, you know, the energy of all these people that want to help. That's really so heartening and beautiful. I just can't imagine what a beautiful night it will be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be incredible. We've got Lily Pegas and Jay from Pippet. We've got David Asnar from Together Lab, and some incredible girls from Harvest on the floor. So it's going to be a pretty epic night with some beautiful food, four-course dinner. We're just really excited to see how much we can help and, do our bit for the community.
We've talked a bit during this mini-series about the place of hospitality when communities are struggling. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think hospitality is a particularly rich forum for being able to rally, you know, support and good feelings?
100%. I think people that get involved with hospitality are, you know, community is such an important part of their lives, and hospitality is somewhere where people can retreat, where people can go to. And I feel like, you know, hospitality people are leaders in the community, and they have a role to play in, giving people a platform where they can, retreat or find solace or have a conversation or just have that steadfast feeling of community to go to.
Well, tell us about you and hospitality, Gabby. Like, how did you get into the industry? What drew you in, and what's your path been?
Pretty unconventional, actually. I was a musician for many years and touring, and I walked into a cocktail bar in Newtown in Sydney and sat up at the bar and met my now husband, James Fury. And, you know, through him, I started to go to restaurants and lots of bars and seeing this level of service that I had never experienced before, and just being absolutely intoxicated with this world of, you know, curating an experience for customers. And I was just like, I want to be a part of that. I need this in my life. And so I was friends with Phoebe from Stambouli, on Enmore Road in Sydney. And she was like, just come in on Friday night and just do a little shift and see what you think. And I was like, okay. And I came on board at Stambouli as a runner. I was hooked instantly and just worked really hard, and then eventually went into management roles. And I was a manager at Continental Deli in Newtown, which is a venue I will always hold very close in my heart. And then I've moved up here a couple of years ago to the Northern Rivers, and was in management roles and focusing on wine as well. So it's only been a few years, but it's been a pretty amazing journey.
It's so, what an amazing story. What kind of musician are you?
So I sing and I play piano and guitar, but I was like in a folk band for years, and then I was doing a lot of session musician stuff and touring all over the place. And I have a solo project called Maples, which is like ambient pop. A bit of electronic. So I'm one of those people that's just, been in lots of different, been through different lots of genres, and so that's me.
I love it. What similarities and differences can you point out between, touring musicians, I guess particularly, or performing as a musician and working front of house in hospitality?
Oh, you have to be a people person. Actually, that's not true. I think you are very connected to people. Like being a musician on stage, people they want to hear your story. They want to hear what you have to say. And being front of house, you also have that moment with people that you can have a really amazing connection with them too. So it's an interaction that is very unconventional, but there's those similarities where you can really connect with people that you normally wouldn't ever connect with through different mediums, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it feels like they're both energy exchanges. The form is quite different. I guess the balance is different as well. There does seem to be, a lot of people think of restaurants as, there's the theatre of the restaurant, there is that kind of performative aspect.
100%.
And what is it about wine that particularly drew you in?
With wine, I was instantly hooked because I started to learn about winemakers and regions and the magic of the history of winemaking. And I just was like, I want to tell as many people about this as possible. So it became a huge part of my service working in the hospitality industry. And then I just had to get more and more into it. So
what is it? I mean, if I come in and, want to order some wine, what sort of somm are you? How are you going to talk to me about wine?
I'm just, all about what the customer feels like what, I'll be like, what do you feel like? What's your day been like? What are you needing? What do you like generally? I just kind of, curate it that way, as opposed to coming in hot and being like, oh, I've got this new bottle of something that's really special. It's really about tailoring taste and curating the experience in a sensitive way, I believe.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, as a potential customer, that sounds, really beautiful and just exactly how I'd love to be looked after. Do you reckon can you pick the kind of wine that people like, just, to get a vibe?
I've been told that I'm very good at that, which is like, a relief. I think it's just really important to be a listener and not to just kind of, go on like a crazy tangent about something magical that really appeals to you. I think it's really important that, everybody has their own experience and their own story with wine. And I think it's really about listening and being sensitive.
And do you think that the wine world is a friendly place for women, also for pregnant women, also for women who are mothers? You know, it has traditionally been a very male-dominated industry. Where do you think things are at, and how have you found it personally?
I'm very lucky in the sense that I'm coming on board in recent years, and I was pregnant 2 years ago, and, you know, I've only ever had a very supportive experience as, you know, a woman coming in, you know, being married and then having a baby. And my introduction back into the wine world was the pop-up Pippet event, which was an incredible introduction back into the workplace for me. You know, the winemakers and Yen and Ben from Pippet and Alice were just so supportive and really wanted to create, you know, an easy space for me to step back into. And it was, yeah, it was really incredible.
What did it feel like? Like, what are some of the, were you nervous? Like, were there challenges? What was it like?
The challenges were getting wine to the venue in time, just because it was at that time where we had another spike in numbers with COVID, and you know, winemakers and couriers were like sort of struggling to get their wines to restaurants, especially in the Northern Rivers. That was probably the greatest challenge. And then just trying to coordinate with my husband's schedule and our 14-month-old. that was the only challenge. But other than that, it was just super fun. There was this energy on the evening. It was really hard to explain, but, you know, there's something about getting lots of incredible women together and curating a night together. It was just, it went so smoothly and the vibe was just incredible.
Just so special. I can't wait for there to be one that I can go to. You work one day a week on the floor at Harvest. Can you tell us about that restaurant? And also, you know, what is it like to come back to work part-time? Do you think hospitality is doing all right at that kind of thing? Do you think it could do better?
I think the hospitality community is doing the best that they can currently. We have a real staff shortage crisis, especially in the Northern Rivers. So I haven't had anything but extreme support from Harvest, especially because, you know, they've just given me whatever day works around James and I. Incredible.
Yeah. You can work for an hour a week. Sure, quick, come in.
Exactly. They're like, we'll take you for whatever we can get you, which has been, you know, so lovely. I really haven't had anything other than support coming back into the workplace. I feel like if I wanted to work a crazy amount of hours, I would have that. If I didn't want to work at all, you know, and wanted to come in and do like some consulting here and there, there's that option too. I feel like, yeah, the leaders in the community are very supportive of women coming back in. It is very difficult though. If you wanted to put your child into daycare, because with hospitality hours, of course, they're very unconventional and, you know, it's not a nine to five job. So you are relying on your spouse or other family to be around. That's a challenge as well.
Yeah, I think especially in the regions where, you know, some people will have their family around, but a lot of people won't. I guess it's the same in cities. I wonder if that is a particular challenge.
Oh, definitely. I've spoken with Yen from Pippet about this a lot, and you know, they have some relatives that are able to help out here and there with their little girl. But it is definitely, you know, a lot of juggling things around and trying to make it work. You know, up here in the Northern Rivers, everything is quite spread out. So, you know, my husband are always driving sort of long distances to try and sort of swap cars and meet each other at certain places, and just be prepared, but we'll get there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, do you imagine, like, is Frida growing up as a restaurant baby? Like, is she is she in the restaurant with you sometimes? Is that possible? How do you think things will play out there?
Yeah, she's definitely on the hip a lot, coming in, waving to all the chefs, and you know, she definitely is familiar with Harvest and loves their croissants. And you know, she's definitely a social butterfly. So, which is great. We hope that she's comfortable in a very social, sort of social environment, because James and I are very, you know, out and about.
Yeah, love it. You mentioned when we were speaking before that you drove to Sydney at 38 weeks pregnant to do something particular. Can you tell us about that experience?
I drove back to Sydney, which is about a 9-hour drive. It's not too bad, to do my WestSet 3.
Explain what that is for people who don't know.
Wine and Spirits Education Trust is one of the ways that you can further your learning as a wine person. It's a very sort of in-depth exam, where there's a tasting, and then there's some sort of short and long answer questions. And it's quite a challenging exam. You have to be very focused and do a lot of study leading up to it. So I finished up at work with Raise. I was a manager at Raise when I was pregnant, and finished up and crammed for a couple of weeks, and then drove to Sydney. And the day before the exam, I thought I was having some contractions, so that was a bit
Oh my
interesting.
God.
Being 9 hours from home, and a little bit unsure of how things were going to pan out, but I made it back in time, and Frida came on her due date. So,
Oh, very good, Frida. And how'd you go in the exam?
no, very good. I passed, and I was very relieved to hear that. Because I didn't want to sit it again. I just couldn't imagine being able to sit an exam like that with a little baby. So I was very relieved.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, some people's palates change in pregnancy. Did you find any difference, with wine tasting?
Yeah, I found the tasting incredibly difficult because all the nuances were so highlighted, being pregnant, that I was so worried that I was going to, you know, see the wines in a completely different light. And so I was really lucky that a couple of weeks previous to that, I had some tastings with Mike Benny, and you know, just trying to help calibrate my palate so I could just get on board and make sure I wasn't, you know, saying that a wine had this fruit when it had something completely different. So it was, you know, I had to be sort of really careful with that because, yeah, you smell things at this heightened level, and things are just really vibrant, or, you know, just really intense when, you know, to someone who's not pregnant, they just smell a certain way. So yeah, I was very, you know, cautious of that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, it's very instructive, isn't it? Because, I mean, it gives you a real insight into the way that, one person might taste wine quite differently from another, just in normal circumstances, take pregnancy out of it. It's really interesting. It also makes me think of, COVID and the fact that it can, reduce some people's ability to taste and smell, and then it sort of comes back sometimes in quite, in stages or in different ways. So it's, yeah, taste, it's so interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's so fascinating. You know, just sitting around a table and talking about wine, which is what, you know, sommeliers and wine people do a lot. Just to sort of see how people perceive wine. It's, you know, some people can taste things completely, you know, differently to others. So that's a really interesting element to the experience of wine as well.
Yeah, it's I'm very much pondering this now. It's really, yeah, it's like there's, I mean, I know that, the sommeliers that I love the best will be, very much along the lines of, there's no right or wrong, it's just whether you like it. But I guess, yeah, if we're all tasting things so differently, what is it that we're gathering around?
I think with wine, I'm always sort of quick to say notes that I experience, and you know, customers will either agree or not agree. And I think it is down to whether it's enjoyable, whether that's something that you know, you actually feel like drinking. Just being open about the winemaking behind the wine and whether or not you're going to detect certain notes of this or whether there's oak or, you know, I think it's just that, you know, the story about the winemaking and whether or not, you know, people actually enjoy that style.
Yeah. And I mean, as you said, you know, it is, there is so much of those narratives around the winemakers and the journey of the wine, which I suppose, you know, no matter how the wine tastes to you, you can still connect with those elements.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Love it. Gabby, I've just, yeah, loved talking to you. I'm just wondering, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on in our conversation?
I don't think so. I think, just talking about coming back into the workforce as a woman and, you know, the supportive hospitality community up here and, just the floods and how it's been affected and, yeah, the fundraiser next week. So I think we've touched on everything that's sort of happening with me at the moment.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Gabby, for chatting to us today on Dirty Linen and being part of this epic Pippet Girl Gang series. It's been really fantastic to have you as part of it. Good luck with the fundraiser. Can't wait to see you up in the Northern Rivers before too long.
Thank you, Denny. Can't wait to see you up here.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.